بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. This is regarding the Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah Tabarak Tala makes mentioned of the incident that occurred with a Jewish tribe in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were a very mighty tribe known as Banu Nadir. In the surah, great lessons were given, especially the lesson of ithar, how a person should sacrifice, how a person should go out of his way for his fellow Muslim brother. So the details of the surah, or an explanation of the few lessons that are given, is after the battle was completed, and there was no real battle in this. As mentioned previously, the Banu Nazir, breaking the pact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first placed their trust on what the hypocrites told them, that we will gather around you, we will support you. They got courage, they decided to stand in defiance against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Sahaba came and surrounded them, they found all that promises which the hypocrites had made, everything fell to the ground. Around their fort were their gardens, their date gardens, because of which there was hardly any place, even if they have to come out to fight, there was going to be no place to fight because everything was gardens. And the other thing is, their heart was in their garden. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the command that burn this. They did not burn everything, but a portion of it was set on fire. And the purpose of it, one, was that seeing their own gardens and their wealth being put to light, these people will come out to fight, but they were not going to come out. The second is, if they do come out to fight, then there will be place for the fighting. Because with so much of gardens and trees, to find a maidan, a plain, a flat, clear plain for fighting was going to be difficult. Sahaba radiallahu anh lit fire to it. And from inside, where it was thought that they would come out in defense of it, this is the nature of the Jew, that when they see their own thing burning, they will let their heart burn. But to give their life for their possessions was something that they could just not do. It was a trait of them in the past also, when they complained and complained that they wanted the land of Al-Aqsa. And then Almighty Allah said that I will send to you a man who will take you to fight against these people. At that time also there was a big amount of them who said, how will we manage to fight? When they looked at the force and the strength of the enemy. In the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were told that just join with him and you will destroy the Amalika. Almighty Allah will be on your side. At that time they had the jur'at to say that, if Allah is going to be on our side, won't it be easier for Allah just to fight? There's no need for us to come. He said, oh Musa alayhi salam, you and your Allah go and sort this thing out. And when the matter is clean and clear, then call us. Almighty Allah in kindness, He blessed the people of Iman with a certain light. That wherever Iman entered, no matter how weak that believer is, because of Iman in Muhammadur Rasulullah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Nabi that came with the sword. He was a Nabi of mercy, at the same time he was a Nabi of war also. Whoever read the Kalima and read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, be him a person who was born in fighting or defending, or a person who never in his life defended himself, but it's the blessings of the Kalima that if an individual finds that, forget his life, even if his possessions are being attacked, he will be ready to put his life on the line. The Jews could not do that. They saw their gardens burning, they burnt. But to go out, which was thought that they will definitely come out, because this is your entire, like, what you worked for your whole life, they were not going to come out. From inside they began arguing and saying that he has always claimed to be a Nabi of mercy. What kind of mercy is this that he is burning the innocent trees? On that Allah Tabarak Ta'ala revealed, مَا قَطَعْتُم مِّن لِينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُوهَا قَائِمَةً عَلَىٰ أُصُولِهَا. Whatever is cut, whatever is left, everything is with the command of Almighty Allah. In that a lesson was given, that there are certain laws of Islam, which from one angle, if a person looks at it, he might feel that why is it like this? Like how when they looked and they saw one nation is burning trees. So they would say, is this not unfair to the tree? What did the tree do? But to understand that in Islam, nothing is man-made. Nothing is worked out from the ground. Everything is from the heavens. An individual met me at one of the janazas, a white man. He said, because of COVID, so many of burials were taking place and the numbers were always small. And most likely he works at that graveyard. So he said, I want to ask you something, will you be upset? And what he wanted to ask me is like, how do we bury our people? What he thought is that because of this COVID and that's why we're like rushing the issue and so fast we're doing it. Because he was surprised at how simple and how cheap it is. What a cheap exercise. And he said, at a time of this pandemic that we're going through, if the other people can learn this, that how cheap it is to get your person buried. So then I explained to him that this is our method normally. So he asked me one question, that why do you do this and why do you do it like that? So how many answers you can give? What came to my mind at that time, I said, what is unique of our faith is that everything that we do, we have not worked it out. Had we worked it out, we would have given you reasons. It's done like this for this reason. And we tried this, this never worked, this worked out better. I said, in our faith, we are convinced, and I can convince you also, that the rules of our faith came from the heavens. There are some which we understand in great detail, what are the benefits behind it. I told him, there are some we still don't understand the benefit. But because we know it came from the creator of the heavens and the earth, we do it A to Z. And then I said to him, some of our things you will be amazed at and said, how wonderful. And there are some of our things which you will not understand. Why is this law? Why is that law? I said, even we don't understand some of the laws. But when a man is convinced the law comes from above, then he doesn't question. I said, everywhere else the law is that this is the law, but you have to prove the benefit of the law for it to be passed. I said, that's the proof that it is man-made. Ours is not man-made. You're looking at why they were burning those trees. They could have said so many stories. But Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, everything happens with the decision of Allah. So there was no war that took place. It was after about six. Some have mentioned within six. Others have mentioned up to 15 days. But within 1 or 2 weeks, all that courage of the Yahud broke. A nation that never ever thought they will be kicked out of their land. They had made Medina their land. They were the bosses, the strongest of forts. And when they left, now came the decision to distribute the booty, which we had mentioned previously. We will go through it again. There was no battle. Almighty Allah said, وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ. Whatever Allah had sent to His Messenger, فَمَا أَوْجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْلٍ وَلَا رِكَابٍ. There was no camel that was riding in this battle. There was no horse that was running around in this battle. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu waited around them and those people gave up. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُسَلِّطُ رُسُلَهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah makes His messengers get power over who He wishes. And Allah got power over everything. Previously there were battles. When a battle would take place, the law was 4/5 will be distributed amongst them. Five fighters. And normally it would not be like land itself, it would be the possessions, the gold, the silver. Because at that time Islam was not conquering land upon land upon land. It was battles they were winning. So the enemy come out to a certain ground. That ground is open territory. The Muslims come out to that ground. A battle takes place. The enemy run away. They leave behind their horses. They leave behind their swords. Their sheep, their goats sometimes, they would bring it. They would say a lot of booty. But there would never be the issue of the land. Because they were never going and taking over a land. Then a certain battle occurred. It was Khaybar, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then gave land to Sahaba radiallahu anhu. But in this battle, there was no battle at all. So this was known as fay. Fay means it came to you like without any effort from your side. There was no fight. Had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted, he could have again distributed it like the normal distribution, that whoever came for the fight, although there was no fight, 4/5 will go to them. This was a lot of land, a lot of gardens, a lot of property. And 1/5 normally would go to the Baytul Mal, and from there its division was already declared in Quran. The poor people will get their share, the orphans will get their share, everyone will get their share. Here, because there was no battle, Almighty Allah revealed that this entire thing now is regarded as fay. Everything will go to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and according to the decision of Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was now going to distribute. For years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had desired that if something can happen where the poor muhajirin can be given something again to start their lives. And he also wanted to thank the Ansar. One way of thanking the Ansar was to give them. And another way of thanking the Ansar was to say that I will now give the Muhajir. And after today you will not have to look after them. This we also mentioned. When the Muhajirin said that no, you will give our when the Ansar said, you will give our Muhajir brothers, but we will continue remaining with them as partners in this. They will remain as our partners. These ayat came to my mind when recently the looting took place, and in a lot of towns there was a lot of devastation. And we all know that the government immediately will stand up and say, we will help the people, but everyone knows it's like a dream, like a lot of promises have been made. Will ever someone help except a believer to a believer? It's a Muslim who has to look after a Muslim. So we will mention again these verses, although it was mentioned previously. That this principle was mentioned for whenever people of Iman find one group in difficulty and another group not in difficulty. There are certain times in life where everything is going well. During those times, a person is allowed to benefit from his wealth extra. But Islam has always disliked what is called ta'ayyush. Ta'ayyush means you just live in luxury. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Iyaka wa O Allah servant, stay away from tana'um, like a life of ease. فَإِنَّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ لَيْسُوا بِالْمُتَنَعِمِينَ. He said, Almighty Allah, servants are not like that. Everything must be like tip-top, to the T, 100%. But there are certain times in life where man sees around him, he looks after that family, he's giving them a little. And then he still finds he has so much with him that he doesn't know what to do with it. So he has to spend on what is called nothing. Because he got too much money, he doesn't know what to do. And there are certain times when war takes place, difficulties come, where a man knows that if I drop my standard, if I drop that high standard, I'll still be very high. But in my high standard, I can support another 4 families perhaps. This law was given in this verse. May Almighty Allah explain the different levels of people at the times when difficulty will come. And it happened now, which was a small example of it in the recent looting. And I have mentioned that a time will come where Muslims, many Muslims around the world will have to make hijrat. When they will have to make hijrat, that hijrat will not be because of a looting, it will be hijrat for deen. Everyone says, I wait for the era of the Mahdi. But it's known that when the Mahdi comes, it will be a demand on the people of Islam. You must be like able to support him in some manner. And living in a non-Muslim country will not be the easiest. Everywhere in the world there will not be fighting. But in a non-Muslim country, to be able to get allegiance and support to a Muslim leader, it's not going to be the easiest. At that time, many Muslims in the world will understand, we'll have to move. But when you move, the normal law of hijrat is lil fuqara il muhajirin. As soon as you think of making hijrat, you must be ready for faqr, poverty. In the hadith it comes, kada al faqru ay yakuna kufran. There are many times when poverty leads to kufr. And in the same hadith, a chapter comes, babu fadl al faqri, the chapter of the honor of poverty. Ulama have written that that person who sees faqr as an honor, who sees poverty as an honor, and even though he says, I haven't got the strength to grab it, but because he sees it as an honor, the day it comes to him, he will never say, Allah disgraced me. And he will never say, how could this happen? Like death. The one who sees death like a calamity, when death comes to himself or his family, he goes in a depression. The other is the one who's told that who doesn't fear death? Everyone fears. Aisha radiallahu anha said, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who doesn't dislike death? Because death means separation from what you love, it's natural. But you still look at death as an honor. Death is the beginning of something else. So when you see death coming, even that individual who disliked it, but as soon as he sees it in front, he says, I was waiting for you for years. Similarly, faqr. No one's inside can say, I love poverty and I'm going to grab it. That was the shan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was offered wealth and he looked at Jibreel alayhi salam and he pointed to him, be humble. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I prefer one day to be hungry and one day to have food. Ikhtiyari faqr, where you chose faqr, after wealth was given in front, was the shan of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a very selected group of his special friends. There were those people in this ummah. Gold came to them, they said, what am I going to do with it? Someone gave them something, they said, leave it there. In the 1 year later, the person came. He said, you use what I gave you? He said, no, I think it's there in the corner, just check it out. Same place where he left it, same place it was there. No fikr at all. There were those. But for the weaker, faqr must be viewed as an honor. Although we don't grab it immediately. But if the time comes that a person has to migrate, or some other test and exam comes to an individual, and for a few months or for a few years he sees faqr, poverty in front, the individual who regarded wealth as an honor and faqr as a disgrace, one is he should always think about that, would Allah disgrace his Nabi? Faqr was no disgrace. Yes, faqr is difficult. Faqr is difficult. But the person who looks at it as an honor, just like when death comes and he says, welcome to you, because I understand behind you is a different world. Similarly, if faqr ever comes to an individual, he must welcome faqr in this manner, that I understand behind you is a lot of greatness, a lot of goodness. Now that I have come to you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua will hit me. Where he said, Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina. Let me live as a poor person. He said, let me pass away as a poor person. And then he said, Allah, let my hashar be with the poor. Normally me and you will make this dua, Allah, let my hashar be with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua, Allah, let his hashar be with the poor. As though he put them like they the important people. I want to be with them. Faqr is an honor. So if ever a difficulty comes, or the time of hijrat comes, and in front of an individual he finds this, that what my hijrat, I will lose everything, then he must understand that he was mentioned in Quran. Almighty Allah then said this well that has now come, fay. And it was a law which was going to continue now for years, and Islam was going to hold on to this law. Umar radiallahu anhu was going to make the implementation of this when the Muslims would go to Iraq and to Sham. and to Egypt, that the land that will remain as a fay. No one will become owners of the land. He said, if we have to distribute the land amongst the fighters, then a few people in the world will be the ultra rich. Because the fighter goes and he gets one share. And now everything remains in him. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, we have made this law that there must be some wealth which is not for the fighters, but which is to the general. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala said, this is for Allah. This is for the messenger of Allah. This is for the families of the messenger of Allah. This is for the orphans. This is for the poor people. This is for the travelers. كَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْكُمْ. So that your wealth does not only revolve around the rich. So that your wealth does not only revolve around the rich. Every other system in the world is this, that the rich must become very, very rich. And the poor must not be seen. It was Islam that came and said, no, start with zakat. Zakat was not a tax, zakat was an honor. But again it was that, so that your wealth doesn't stay with you. It must move around to others also. So he said, they got a right. 2.5% was taken out of wealth. And that wasn't the end. Then Islam gave nafal. Islam gave kafara. You have to do this, then feed the poor. Islam said, nafal, you want this, then do this to the poor. It made the poor people like the object of searching for the happiness of Allah. Whatever you can do for them. Then it was an imtihan for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because before this ruling, when they went there and they surrounded that Jewish fort, then definitely when you are noticing after 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, the Jews are going to give up. Immediately you start looking around at the gardens. And those were extremely beautiful gardens. And those mujahideen who were there, whether it was Ansar or it was Muhajirs, every fighter did not own what the Jews had. Now when you are looking, so another unique lesson came. Many a time when before someone passes away, the thought of inheritance also comes. And a person starts dreaming like, okay, if he passes away, or he just passed away and while he's in the qabr being lowered, a person is already calculating that I think my share is going to be so much. And then you're looking at a certain house and already you're thinking about that will be the bedroom. That dream that you have, that's also natural. This surah came to show a lot of things are natural. But the decision of Allah and the Nabi of Allah is most powerful. Man has to break his natural feeling. Many Sahaba looked at those gardens. And many of them must have dreamt that that one perhaps will be mine, that one will be mine. And when the battle was finished, then the decision was given that, yeah, I will not be giving the Ansar much. Perhaps 2 or 3 Ansar got from this. And the rest of them, how they would have felt at that time. Your inside, the normal law in Islam is if your inside also feels like upset, but still you say, Allah, it's your decision, I accept. Like inheritance. Now you land up by the mufti. And the daughter says, but I looked after my father. The brothers, they never looked after him. And then the mufti says, but the decision of Allah is that the brothers got their share and you got your share. It's mentioned already by Allah. Then she gets upset. But then she thinks of this verse, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. What the Nabi of Allah is giving you, take that there. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And what the Nabi of Allah says is not yours, then leave it. Unique this verse was. And at what a place it was mentioned. It was mentioned in the scene that you must picture the scene that the Ansari is looking at that garden and he is thinking that is going to be mine, that's going to be mine. And after the battle is finished and you're so happy and now you're going for distribution. We were the fighters. Normally 4/5 are distributed amongst the fighters. All I knew it. And then the Nabi of Allah looks at the individual and he says that a different rule has come. At that time, even if your inside burns, Almighty Allah still will say no problem. As long as you don't allow it to come on your tongue. See, the Nabi of Allah stopped it. And if you can reach to a level like what the Ansar were, where Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ fi sudurihim hajatam mimma utu. In their hearts they did not feel anything. That was like a unique level. But no problem. I got enough. Must I run for that extra? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu an, he said, that which comes to you without any desire, without you jumping and looking at it, he said, take that full of barakah. He said, that comes to you which you were desirous of. You were wanting it, waiting for it, putting your head up. When is it coming? He said, when that comes to you, it got no blessings. It might look lot, but it's not going to help much. Almighty Allah in these verses praised, the first group was lil fuqara, that this wealth should go to those poor muhajireen, those who left their houses, those who were taken out of their houses and their wealth, who went out searching for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. They said, in hijrat, if I have to find Allah, it is more than sufficient. A sahabi radiallahu anhu, he had wealth. He hid his wealth in Makkah Mukarramah, knowing a time will come, when I'll come back to Makkah Mukarramah, I'll dig it out. As he was going, they surrounded him. They said, we will not let you go. You came to this land, you earned very well, now you want to take our wealth? So he said to them that, okay, if you allow me to go, I'll tell you where I buried everything. How hard that was. When burying it, he was thinking, one day I'll come back. No one will find my wealth. He said to them, I'll tell you where I buried it, but let me go. He reaches Madina Munawwara without anything now, because that was his last hope. As soon as he reaches, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what a prophet you made. What a prophet. Meaning you made a deal with Almighty Allah. Revelation came out of you. What a prophet you made. Their minds were on this. That where they saw faqr also, they saw behind faqr is a deal with Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah says, those that were taken out of their houses, their wealth, searching for the pleasure of Allah, searching for the happiness of Allah, helping Allah and the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulaika humus sadiqoon. Almighty Allah says, indeed, these are those that are truthful. What is the test of truthfulness? That when a difficulty comes, man looks at the difficulty and he says, because it came from my Allah, I did not jump for it, but whatever comes from my Allah comes with honor. My Allah has not come to disgrace me. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. You are really truthful. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارِ. The second group was those that had. And this is that message that is given to many Muslims now and for the future. That because halat and conditions are going to come, has come, will come, there will always be one family who got a little for the other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put this into practical implementation when he said the tu'am, the food of two, is definitely going to look after three. The food of three will look after four. He says, how much food you got, you can definitely bring one more person into your life. Tu'amul ithnain yakfi thalatha. The Ansar were those people who did it in the most unique manner. And they left a message for the people of the world. If ever you find that your brother is in difficult conditions, then for a while, drop your standard of living. They never have to drop it forever and ever, for a while, until you can at least put up one Muslim brother. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established the system of bhai-chargi, brotherhood. That he never just said, oh Ansar, bring your wealth here, put it in the masjid, whoever is poor, come and take it. That was sometimes done. But here when it was that an entire group was made poor, overnight, they made hijrat, they left everything. Some of them, even their wives were not ready to come. They were not ready to accept their fate. They said, good, if you are not ready to come with me, I am going alone. Now they reached a land with no family, no house, no village. Ulama have written, it is the nature that people normally don't welcome foreigners. And when you see a foreigner coming, even if you smile at him, that smile is only from the tongue, not from the inside. You find him to be like a spoiler of your sustenance. That he'll come now and he'll sell cheaper. He'll take away my sustenance. It was Islam that came to say that your sustenance has been written by Allah. And no soul will die until he gets all his sustenance. I met those people who have to start at 6 o'clock and end at 9 o'clock. And I met those people who said, I'm tired of this year. I'm now going to start at 9 and I'm going to end at 3. And both people, when we asked how are things, each one would say that it's just happening. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah came from both. Meaning what was written was going to come to you quickly between 9 to 3, or it was going to come to you stretched between 6 to 9. Man could go looking for 5 shops, or man could open 1 shop. And he could understand when Allah will send it through 5, he can also send it through 1. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah went to visit a person who was known as a very busy person. So when they entered, he was busy and the phone rang, and then there was another phone that said, like how we have now these 5 cell phones. And each one was ringing while he's taking this call here, then that one is ringing, he says, hold on. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib noticed it when he left. After that he said, I ask Allah's protection from the sustenance of monkeys. Then he explained, what is the sustenance of monkeys? That it's put on different trees. And then the monkey is told, you must jump. Same sustenance, but the monkey's job is to jump. So it'll get its one banana there, but all is not going to come to it. It'll have to go look for the other banana. It'll grab its fruit. It's going to, in ending, eat. Everything will eat. But he taught a lesson that don't be like that businessman who's running like anything. That second business that a person has, he only put it up there because he needed an extra cash flow. So instead of him worrying about it and running it, especially at a time of difficulty, you rather let somebody else say, you know what, I'm going to make you the owner of this now, and I'm your partner in this. You the worker, and I'm the money. And in Islam, there was something called mudaraba. Mudaraba means my money, your work. And now we'll split the profits so much, so much. You carry on working. That person doesn't have to go put up a new enterprise, business. That person doesn't have to find capital, the capital. And this person, instead of him running there, or instead of him employing someone to run there, and that person is going to steal his money anyway. Here at least that person who's there, he knows I have to make money. And he will always say, what a favor this person gave, that he just put me in his place. And he still gets your profit, and that person takes the headache. Someone might say, but I might run at a loss. There might be a loss in everything in life. But that person who goes out to sea to the aid of his Muslim brothers and sisters, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised, Wallahu fi auni al-abd. Allah will continue seeing to your needs. Ma dam al-abdu fi auni akhi. As long as an individual is helping his brother. So to help out. When the Ansar saw the Muhajirin, they did not see them as foreigners who are coming to take away our sustenance. Ulama wrote, they saw them. They said, y'all are the bringers of the mercy of Allah. You are the bringers of the mercy of Allah. They said, you are the clouds of mercy. They honored the Muhajirin to such an extent, and we have heard the incidents. They understood that in the Muhajir, smile is the happiness of Allah. So when an Ansari had to see a Muhajir and say, come home, he would say to his family, you got anything? Sometimes the wife would say, I only got a little bit for the child. Then too the Ansar will say that the Muhajir is more important than my own child. So they put the child to sleep somehow or the other. Tomorrow we'll find food. But the Muhajir cannot go away because in him is the happiness of Allah. And Almighty Allah revealed, when incidents like this would happen, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam the next day would call that sahabi and say, Allah was amazed at your action last night. Allah was amazed at your action. So that was that second group who taught the world a message that if you are not the Muhajir, then try to be the Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوُ الدَّارِ. Those people who prepared the house, who prepared the city of Iman, who had great love for the Muhajir. And then there is the third group, that sometimes you are not the one who went through the imtihan, and at the same time you don't have the financial means, the ability, or those people are not in front of you who you can help. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ. There will always be those who come after. Come after can mean that they were born later. So they will hear about what those people did and they say, wah, like what they did. But at the moment he can't do anything. So Almighty Allah says, no, you can still do. If you could not be part of the battles of the past, or if you could not be part of a certain incident where Muslims stood up to protect, or if you could not be part of one aiding another, sacrificing for another, at least you can keep your part in what is called dua. Whether your dua is made years after the incident, and those people are already in their graves, and you might think that how will it ever benefit them? So ulama who have written regarding what happens in the graves, they have written the people in the graves, they wait for any and everything. And they receive it like a unique hadiah. Those incidents were mentioned where children would go visit their parents. They would go every Friday, they would read Surah Yasin at the Qabristan and then they would come back. And then maybe something happened because of some conditions, they stopped going. Then the father would come in the dream and he would say, oh my son, if only you understood that when Friday would come and you would reach the Qabristan, forget me running to meet you. Because those boys would go read Surah Yasin and say, Allah, the reward for my father and whoever is buried here. That's how normally you'll say it. He said, when you would come on Friday, forget me rushing to see you, the inmates of the other graves, they would all run. And I would be so happy, like all of them are saying, your son is coming. He said, that would make me more happy, like to see like my son is on it, I was on it. Because when you would come read, you would send for me and for everyone. He says, now you're not coming, now every week they're waiting like, and they're not telling me your son is coming. He said, how I is to wait for you, not only for me, but it's to give me honor, like I was honored in the qabr. Everyone used to enjoy what you would bring. This is how the people of the grave, whatever dua is sent, whether you send it at the graveyard, whether you send it sitting in your house, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ those that will come after, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ they make dua saying, Allah forgive us and forgive those that were ahead of us in iman. Ahead of us in iman either can mean that they were before we were even born. Or ahead of us of iman means I could not be an Ansari. And I could not be a Muhajir. They really beat me in iman. But at least I can make dua for them. So don't ever be lax in this. Whenever you hear of calamities in the world, it should not only be a talking matter. But it should be a dua matter. Sad about it is not going to help anything, but dua is going to help. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا One is they make dua for that group. And the second they say, Allah, let never ever any ill feeling come in my heart for that group. Why? Because he understands that that is the real group. They're the ones that stood up, I never stood up. So at least let me love and honor them. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ On this ulama wrote, a unique lesson is taken out in Islam. That the people of evil, what is called the people of fitan, the people of different groups which are not on the straight path, they will either have one of two qualities. Either they have قِلَّةِ التَّعَبُّدِ or they have قِلَّةِ التَّأَدُّبِ or they have both. قِلَّةِ التَّعَبُّدْ means that you don't really find them worshipping Almighty Allah. Their talks of Iman and Islam are very big. But when it comes to basic practice, they become lazy. Basic practice of Salah, now suddenly the person says, to take out my socks is a little bit hard now. But that discussion was the top discussion of how to help, what to do, where to go. So it's a lot of talk. But when a little time comes for a little worship, قِلَّةِ التَّعَبُّدْ, very hard. To read that extra two rakats after a farz salah, extremely impossible. Very, very difficult. Do I have to do it? When Ramadan comes and you say 20 rakats, like 20 is long, pulled with a mud. You say, can't we make it 8? I'm sure we can make it 8. So everything comes less. That was one shan, one sifat, one quality of the people who were not always on the straight path. And then the second was qillati ta'addub, adab. Adab means that level of talking about your predecessors, how you speak regarding them, how you speak regarding your elders, those that are alive, those that have passed away, how you speak regarding your own teachers. Sometimes you might even find that in the teacher's house or in his life, there is something not 100% correct. But that level of adab will not allow you to say it in that manner. But where there was no adab, then people would be ready to criticize anyone and everyone. Anyone and everyone. The one who criticizes all. And in his system of criticizing, you find he got no etiquette, no respect. And ulama have mentioned that has always been the shan, the sifat of those that are not on the right path. Qillati ta'abbud, qillati ta'addub. How a person talks, his level of respect, especially when it got to do with his seniors, with his elders, and how he views worship. So that unique lesson was taken from that verse. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. That if you are unable to be a muhajir, you are unable to be an ansar, at least be a da'i. Please be a person who makes dua, you will get a share in that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one battle he was distributing. So this was mentioned also here, that the issue about wealth. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. When the Ansar saw what the Muhajirs were getting, they never like a burn. They were happy with the decision of Allah. And they even asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time that, okay, they will take this and they will take this and they will take this. So what is there for us? Because definitely when you came to Medina Munawwara, at that time you had nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will you be happy that they take it all and you all take back the Rasul of Allah? And I promise you I'll live with you all in Medina Munawwara, I'll die with you all. Immediately said, that's what we want. In that answer they gave a message to the world. There will be certain times where you will find Almighty Allah. This was the Rasul of Allah giving someone. So what happened in a certain battle, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving and he gave and he gave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was like his uncle Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an. So he had that status where he could ask a question and he could like make an objection also. He was like the uncle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what an uncle I got, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an said, that I was thinking of a certain sahabi and what a good sahabi he was and how much of difficulty he has been going through. And here I'm finding that these others who are collecting, they just came like now. From nowhere they came. And the way they collecting, like, what did they really do? So he says, I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Allah's Nabi, there's this one sahabi, Ju'ail, that by the qasam of Allah, what I think of him is, he's a mu'min. He's like a real believer, meaning these others, I can even see hypocrisy in some of them. They just accepted Islam now and they're running. Can you really trust them? He said, but in him, his iman, I can guarantee. By the qasam of Allah, he's a believer, mu'min. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just looked and he said, why don't you say Muslim? Like, don't say mu'min. Because mu'min means like, you can see what's in his heart. You'll never know what's in his heart. But Muslim meaning, he looks like a Muslim. So Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu kept quiet. He says, but it was troubling him, and finally he couldn't manage. And again he said, O Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I take qasam by Allah, what I think of him is he's mu'min. Like, rather give him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, why don't you say Muslim? Like, that we don't know what's in the heart, but he looks good. And a third time perhaps it happened. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an. And he says, I give certain people, knowing that there are others who are much better than them. And those others who I'm not giving are more closer to me than the one I'm giving. I give certain people, knowing that there are others who are better than them. And those others that are better are much closer to me than the ones I'm giving. He says, the ones that I am giving, I give them because I have a fear that if I don't give them, it must not happen that Allah makes them the fuel of Jahannam. Meaning that they don't get that, and because of that there they say that I'm not accepting this Islam. Or they accept it and they see little but that wealth is out of Islam and they jump out of Islam to get the wealth. He said, I'm giving them just so that they don't become the fuel of Jahannam. He says, and there are others, when I look at their condition, no matter how difficult it is, but I am comfortable, I am at ease, that I know I can leave them with their Allah. He said, I am at ease that I can hand them over to their iman. I can hand them over to their iman. When the Sahabi radiallahu anhu heard this, he was like overjoyed. But in the incident, there was a lesson for every person also. When the Ansar saw the Muhajirin getting, they never burnt. Like how the Sahabi, he was overjoyed. Sometimes you will see somebody else getting, and you will start wondering, why is Allah giving him so much? And if you look at the amount of things that he does wrong, he's not the best of people. And look at me, like my things just don't go right. I tried this year, it's not working. I tried that day, it's not working. And he just put his foot in something. And then sometimes think of this wording. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like a spokesperson for Almighty Allah. That as though Almighty Allah is saying to his servant, that there are some times why I'm giving my servant because I'm scared he'll be the fire of Jahannam. And as for others in this world, I hand them over to their iman. Meaning that your Allah knows you'll manage. Allah knows you'll manage. For which reason we said, faqr is not always a disgrace. Sometimes it's a very great honor. Very great honor. So these are those few messages and lessons that are taken from the beginning of the surah, Surah Nasr. May Allah tabarak ta'ala bless us. That number one we learn from the surah, faqr is not a disgrace, it's an honor. We don't run towards it because we all know we cannot manage it. But faqr, which is forced on a person, which is called ittirar, you force to become poor, sometimes it can lead to kufr. The individual can get doubts on Almighty Allah. He can become upset with Allah. And that mind which has been prepared that faqr, poverty, is an honor, it's only I'm too weak for it. The day Allah brings it, that individual will say that it seems my Allah now feels I am strong for it. That itself will give him courage. He will not look at somebody else who was not attacked and says, how come he got saved? And why I got affected? Rather, he will think that maybe I am like that Sahabi who Almighty Allah is saying that you, I hand you over to your iman. Like, faqr is an honor. Lil fuqara il muhajirin. And at the ending, Almighty Allah made so much intizam. He put it in the hearts of others to see to their needs. Finally, they got their own gardens. Within 10 years, these very fuqara muhajirin were the leaders of the Muslim world. Wealth was coming to them from everywhere. When they were talking business after that, they were talking in millions. Within a couple of years. All of them, Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu, he says, I was the one who went to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I asked, give me something. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me, he said. He said, again I came. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me. He said, again I came. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave and he said, oh Hakim. And he gave him a lot of advice. One advice he said, remember Yadul Ulya, the hand that is higher is much better than the hand that is low. Meaning the receiving hand, the giving hand. He said, work to be the giving hand. He said, oh Hakim, what comes to you? And you had no desire of it. Then it comes to you, then grab it. And what does not come to you, don't go running behind it. He gave him a lot of advice. When you read that narration, Hakim bin Hizam, how he was like, I need something, I need help. That you have to tell the poor person that, just make sabr. And later on you'll hear the same Hakim bin Hizam, radiallahu anhu, he goes to another sahabi whose father passed away. And he says, have you sorted out the debts? You got any problem, just come to me. Got any problem. Then there's a land, the boy says, we got this land now. So if I can sell this land, you know, like, then I can pay off my father's debt. He says, how much is one plot? He says, oh, I'll take this. In 1 minute, like talking of millions, that same Hakim bin Hizam who says, I was saying, give me something. When Almighty Allah gives back, He can give back in huge amounts also. But when the test comes, it could be 1 year or 5 years or 10 years. And every person in this world, some test or the other test, either in wealth or in life or in children, we continue asking Almighty Allah to protect us from all tests. But when a test comes, a test is not a punishment, it's not a disgrace. A test is a test. Man must see in the test honor that my Allah feels I can manage this one, otherwise He would not have brought it to me. Instead of becoming angry with Almighty Allah, which will not benefit an individual at all. If an individual in love can go forward towards Almighty Allah at the time of tests, he will find what and what enjoyment coming. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, in the end of his life, for about the last 10 years he was paralyzed. Paralysis, the world will look at it as a punishment. I can't go anywhere. I have now become dependent. I don't like to be dependent. I never wanted to be dependent. I can't stand. I never wanted to read my namaz sitting. Now I have to sit. I got no control of my lower body. My urine, I got no control. I can't even enter in the masjid. I want to go for my salah. He taught the world that there's a lot of things we want. But there's a level which is called in the ending, Allah, if you are happy to see me in this condition, then I am happy with you, Allah. And they would take that imtihan in such a unique manner. Like, near the end of the life of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimullah, a lot of dreams were seen because he had that level of, I am happy with your decision, even if it means I'm on the bed and I can't go anywhere. Among the dreams, one individual saw when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in his dream and saying, Mera Akhtar Agaya, Mera Akhtar Agaya, that my Akhtar has come, my Akhtar has come. Just waiting to hug him, like, show such an honor. When it comes with tests, and an individual can say, Allah, if you are happy to see me in this condition, then I am happy with you, Allah. I will make an effort, I will try, I will do some therapy, I will do some physio, I will try to come out of my difficulty. We will continue looking for the solutions to our problems. But while in the problem, we will look at Allah as a loving Allah, a kind Allah. Never ever will I ask the question, why? You will just look at Allah, that give me that sabr to manage this test also. May Allah tabarak ta'ala, let us never fail our exams. Wa akhiru da'wana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.